Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how grateful I am to be with you on this beautiful Sunday, August the 20th, 2017. Wow, it's going fast. We're hitting the fall here very soon, and I'm really excited about that. I love the fall, the cold weather, everything, or the chilly weather. Anyway, I want to remind you that as you listen to these radio broadcasts, as you peruse my website, hopefully at aspire.org, and look over all the TV programs and everything that is on that beautiful website, that all of that is supported by our sponsors. They are people who recognize the value of something, well, majorly different and very powerful in their own life and in this world, and make contributions monthly or quarterly to sustain Aspire and its efforts. And I hope that you will become a part of that. Your donations, and we need your donations to sustain Aspire, are so very important to our effort to serve humankind. And your gifts go beyond just paying for airtime for radio and TV and making all those things possible. It also allows me to go to hospice and serve there. There are many things that your donations do, and I want you to understand how deeply grateful I am that you make your gift possible. If you are not a sponsor, oh, consider being one. I hope you will. If you go to the website at aspire.org and you hit the main page there, you will see support right there at the top. You can't miss it, you know. And if you click on that, you will see a drop-down menu that will say, why support Aspire? And if you read that, it will help you very much understand where your donations go, how we operate, and how we serve humankind. So go take a look. It's really, really important. I'm going to look at me a little bit here, the work I do. I get emails from time to time from people that wonder, you know, how to get involved or what to do or how to get the ball rolling. And I'm going to explain some things to you today that might be helpful in that category. You have to understand, I am not here to seduce you into coming and working upon yourself. I am not here to say I have a better way than other people have. That's not what I'm doing. But everything that I am doing in this fabric of my work and my practice with students is something very unusual. It is hard to explain, and you either get it or you don't get it. And some people who really get it, it scares the heck out of them. So I'm going to share with you these things, hopefully in a way to serve you and to answer the questions. I got one from Rich here in Carmel. Well, it is in Carmel. He says from the Central Coast, so we'll just keep it at that. I don't know if he's in Carmel, to be honest with you. But the deal is, I have had others, and they have come in just in the last 2 or 3 weeks. So I thought, well, you know, this would be a good radio program to talk about, okay? Rich says, thank you for the weekly satsangs. Do you meet with students on a weekly basis? What makes a student likely to hear your message and follow the way? Rich. Well, yes, Rich. If you go to the website and you look around, yes, I meet with my students on a weekly basis. We meet at the Carl Cherry Center here in Carmel every Saturday. It's very informal, though. And what it's about is I sit and talk to them about the week they've had in their practice. I also do have personal sessions with students to help them, you know, deal with their life and establishing a spiritual practice in that life and what that lifestyle is all about. I work very diligently with my students. And then, of course, there's the workshops and the retreats that I do three times a year. And the workshops are every other month. So, yes, I work diligently with my students. And it is very difficult for them in the sense that they have to be responsible for their own practice and the lifestyle of which they live. And it is very difficult for them to follow the way. You ask me what makes a student likely to hear your message and follow the way. I don't know. I have no idea. It's up to each individual how they hear my message. There is every opportunity for you to miss it. So when a person listens to, let's say, one of my discourses that I offer on the website at aspire.org or any of these radio programs, which I don't think of as discourses. I think of them as a dialogue, as a satsang, as heart-to-heart communion. I don't know what makes them. There's a lot of things I've experienced in my four decades of being a spiritual teacher. You know, some people come because they're desperate and their human heart is broken. Something has happened and they're looking for recovery. I'm looking for transformation, not recovery. I don't want you to recover. I want you to be transformed by your experience. I want you to become anew. And a lot of people don't want to be anew. They want to be back in the old farm and the old, you know, plantation, working the way they work and living the way they used to work and live. And boy, it gets very convoluted. People don't really want to change. They just want a little improvement here, a little improvement there to make their lives more enjoyable and entertaining. And, of course, the more affluent we have become as a society, the more we've lost our culture, which now the culture is the society, and the society has become the culture. In fact, we don't have culture anymore. We just have society. And so the more we go on in this, you know, fabrication of our lifestyle being that of nothing but being entertained constantly, whether it be on TV or whether it be with food or alcohol or drugs. I was listening to NPR the other day. It's getting harder and harder for me to listen to NPR anymore. I rarely do, but this whole broadcast was about the idea of having a bookstore and getting people into the bookstore. They couldn't think of any other way. They pondered it and pondered it. This bookstore was going to be in Brooklyn, and it was going to be something that was supposed to, I guess, culturally help people. And the only way they could figure to get people in was to add a wine bar. Oh, yes, a wine bar. So people could come in and sip wine and try to read a book. How many wine spritzers can you have before you can't read the books anymore? We always need something to alter our mind, alter our genetics a little bit, or alter our chemistry. So, you know, you ask me, Rich, what makes a student likely to hear your message and follow the way? You've got to be in a place where you are willing to hear the message, okay? You have to be willing to hear it. If you aren't willing, if you don't feel the pull to do something with your life that is more than sedentary and pedestrian, if you don't have that pull, you won't hear me. You won't know. And there's no way I can convey that message to you of you need to hear the pull inside you or have the pull. You're going to need a lot of tough times, difficult times, possibly. You're going to need maybe some surprises along the way, maybe with your health or your family or your job or something that alters the way you live your life with your body and mind. If you don't have that experience, if that doesn't come to you for whatever reasons, you'll trundle on into death and into the next life and the next life doing the same things. There has to be some pull, something that alters the comfort and the seeming mundaneness of your life, where you think you're in control or you think you've got this thing by the horns. We don't. None of us do. I don't. No one does. Some people come thinking they can get control over their life, yada da yada da. And it goes on and on and on. So, you know, it's up to you whether or not you want to do this. And, you know, I warn you, and other students will warn you too, that to be involved in this means you have to be willing to change. And you have to be willing to change at your own level, in your own time, in your own way. I am there as a facilitator, not a cheerleader. I am there as your teacher and not a motivator. And if you can't find your heart, your authentic heart, and you're really not interested in it because it seems drab and boring or whatever, there is nothing I can do to help you. You have to want this with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. You ought to give me a call sometime. Maybe I can define it better for you. Rich, thank you for listening, though. I deeply appreciate it. I really do. And your kind email. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Lynn, L-I-N, from Los Angeles. Mr. Penn, you are easy to misunderstand, yet intriguing. How can I hear you better, Lynn? Lynn, what a sweet and honorable email this is, and I want to thank you. Rarely do I get anything this beautiful. When you listen to me, you must listen to me like the sound of running water, the breeze in the trees. There's every chance for you to misunderstand me because the chemistry in the brain, the mindset, the genetics, the DNA all play a role in how we hear and listen to anyone. So there's every chance you're going to misunderstand because I am not coming from any of those things. I have no agenda with you. I'm not trying to persuade you. I'm not trying to con you. I don't want anything out of you. I've always told my students, more than anything in this world, all I've ever wanted from them was their attention, just for a few moments. If I have your attention, it means that the hubris of you, the ego, is not fighting, and for a brief moment there is a pause, a gap, a space, where you can actually hear what I'm saying without interpreting it. What kills my message is your interpretation, based on your genetic disposition, your psychology. I can't fight your psychology. And if I appeal to your psychology, then I water down the message to such a degree that it's useless. So I can't do that either. You have to be able to listen without prejudice, without desire and ambition and pride. You just have to listen. And if you can practice listening by just giving me your attention without commentary in your mind, then you will hear what you need to hear. You will understand me more than you ever could imagine without ever meeting me in the flesh. You and I will have met in the heart. And that's where the communion is. That's where so much happens, in the heart. It is in the heart of your being, my being, that we come together in a compassion, in a love, in an understanding that unites with many other people who are of the same heart, who have come to the place where futility does not have to be our teacher any longer. One of the most difficult things in life is to understand the state of our futility and how much we need it in order to sustain our lifestyle and the way we live. It is amazing to me, absolutely amazing, but it is what we do. Listen to your being. Resonate to it. Prepare to listen to me, Lynn. Sit quietly and just listen to these radio broadcasts, or if you're watching the TV programs or whatever you're doing, just listen. Don't analyze. People always want to categorize me. Oh, he's a Buddhist. Oh, he's not a Christian. Yet he talks about Jesus. They go into all of this craziness. And in doing so, they miss the point of the message, that still point inside where love exists more as an essence, an energy, than the emotionality could ever have done before. When we get emotional and we think emotionally and we live emotionally and we hear emotionally, we miss the messages that are being given to us by the simplest things. The ocean, the sky, the mountains, the sun, everything is giving us a sweet message. Everything is about a tone, an intonement. And when I'm in the tone and in the intonement, I come into a oneness. This oneness just signifies beauty. The highest truth, Lynn, that there is the unspoken beauty of life itself. And if you can commune with that, you will hear my words and you will no longer misunderstand. You will change the way you live your life on your own. You won't need me to tell you what to change. You will know. And as you progress in meditation, in the beauty of meditation, you will find you cultivate a new mind. A mind no longer living in useless duality, where we're fighting one thought against another, pitting them. We find that oneness, that beauty, that essence. That's what this is all about. And so few want to do it because there is no conflict. To miss my message is simple. Anyone can do it. Any pedestrian mentality can do it. You can pick it apart. You can analyze it. You can theorize it in the light of conflict, because the mind thrives on conflict. Because our emotions are always in conflict with what is happening in this lifetime, in this world. We are missing everything. And we miss because we just don't care. We want what we want, what we want, what we want. This world, Lynn, is not the final frontier. The final frontier is not outer space. Hate to tell you Trekkies that, but I love Star Trek, so don't worry. The final frontier is within. It is to go where no human can go. It is to put your attention upon the heart. The scariest thing about my teachings, scariest thing about life itself, is it's a matter of heart. Not emotion, but heart. You risk everything by listening to me, really hearing me. You risk everything. You risk your entire way of life that is based in the scourge of self-hatred and fear. And believe it or not, those things, Lynn, play a very big part in most people's lives. Very big part. So there you are. You want to hear me? Get simple. Just listen. Just listen as you would listen to classical music, or you would listen to nature in some way. Just listen. No argument, no agenda, no reason, no purpose. Just to listen. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know, the object of anything that is beautiful is a meditation, just to listen and not to make it any less or any more of what it is and can be. The last question comes from John in Sacramento, California. Why should someone follow you? My wife fears you. I'm intrigued, John. I don't know why your wife would fear me. I've never met her. Now, if she ever met me, you know, there'd be something. But you ask me, why should someone follow me? I don't want you to follow me. You can't follow me. Never follow me. Just listen to the pause and the gaps between my words. Just listen. I don't want you to be a Gregory Penn. I'm not telling you that I'm the end all. I'm not. I'm not a perfect anything. I am in a practice. I'm in the practice of the authentic. And in being in that, there are so many things to encounter. You can't follow me. You'd have to have my life. You'd have to have my past lives. You would have to have the heart that I currently have. You'd have to have so many things that are not in your power to have. You can't follow me, and I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow my silences, the spaces, the gaps, the love, the kindness, the compassion. Follow that. And that has nothing to do with me. Never follow Greg. Follow your heart. I am pointing, not from Greg or as Greg, but I am pointing to your heart all the time. I am pointing as a teacher to your essence, your being. The thing that is most important about you, that is what I am pointing to. Now, as far as your wife's concerned, she is probably afraid that if you start following this way, you're going to change and you're not going to maybe love her or act in accordance to what is comfortable between the two of you. I don't know, but I would assume that that's what I've experienced in the past. Maybe you wouldn't be having to do so much labor with her. Maintenance, I don't know. But to thy own self be true, as Socrates said. You must be true to yourself. And in a spiritual practice, you love people more and more, not less and less. You understand them deeply. And you have the compassion and the willingness for forgiveness that exceeds the human behaviors that we see in this world, which are so difficult at times. So your wife really has nothing to fear but her own self. And maybe that's what's really at stake here. Sincerity is an interesting thing. You can love someone out of need, or you can love someone out of sincerity. If you sincerely need them, that's really a problem. If you can just love them out of the sincerity of the heart, oh, something so beautiful can arise, both within you and between the two of you. It can be very meaningful. typically, it doesn't happen without a practice. I gotta go. Thank you for your beautiful question, John. I hope it helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air next weekend. Please, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.